Welcome to the Center for Global Initiatives podcast, a production of the Johns Hopkins School of Nursing Center for Global Initiatives. Tune in monthly to hear from Johns Hopkins students and faculty about their travels, projects, experiences with, and thoughts on global health nursing. Today on Episode 1, Part 2, we get to hear more about student experiences abroad this summer, and we talk to Johns Hopkins students Evie Dahlman and Amy Pennington about their practicum experience in El Salvador.
Welcome, Amy and Evie. Welcome, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
So you guys went to El Salvador over the summer, is that correct?
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about the program that you were working with?
So we were in El Salvador, precepting with Megan Lopez, who's a previous student of Johns Hopkins of the School of Nursing. She's a family nurse practitioner, mm-hmm. and she currently works in El Salvador as the director of Whole Child International, which is an international nonprofit that's focused on improving the quality of care and providing developmentally appropriate care to children in orphanages and low-resource child care centers worldwide. So right now over there, she's functioning as their director. She's also in the process of getting her licensure in El Salvador to practice as a nurse practitioner as well. So we were able to do some work with her organization, mm-hmm. doing some education projects. And then we also were able to shadow and do our preceptorship for our nurse practitioner program with a free clinic that runs out of the capital city, San Salvador.
How long were you guys there for?
We were there for 6 weeks.
That's a long time.
Yeah, so the first week we kind of took it upon ourselves. We wanted to do language immersion because we both speak Spanish, but we were not feeling as confident. We wanted to kind of get in the zone, per se. So we went to do, the first week we did language immersion in Suchitoto. So that was every day for 6 hours a day. We would do individual classes, and that was really fun. Exhausting, but fun. And then we did 4 weeks. We lived in San Salvador, and we would go out primarily to rural areas and work with the private clinic to do well and sick visits to children at their school or in their community.
So you were working primarily in rural clinics, is that right?
More or less, yeah. Mm-hmm. We were working with the Fundación, Fundación para Desarrollo Social, mm-hmm. I think, which is a free clinic that runs out of San Salvador and supplements the national health care that's provided to a lot of the citizens. And they run a program where they do medical screening visits, mm-hmm. to various small communities with reduced healthcare access that are up in the mountains to the north of San Salvador. So for those clinics, rather than really working at a clinic, what we were doing was setting up a clinic. We would strap an examination table to the top of our car, and we'd put all of the medications in the trunk, and then we'd drive an hour and a half up into the mountains and down some roads into a community. And then we would do medical and screening visits for all of the children in an entire community. So over the course of 2 or 3 days, we would end up seeing like 78 children or 80 kids. So it was a pretty busy setting. And we would generally just set up the clinics in sort of either a school or they had a couple like one-room buildings that functioned as health centers where they would also do education programs and nutrition programs for the mm-hmm. women. So we would set up our little clinic, quote unquote, which basically is just a desk and an examination table and some chairs. And then we would go all day. Mm-hmm. So it was a wonderful opportunity because we got to shadow with some fantastic doctors in El Salvador. And we learned a lot from them, and then were able to practice on our own and see some of the patients on our own as well.
Besides bringing the medicine to them, how else did medical practice differ in El Salvador?
One thing that I noticed that I think was interesting, just coming from Hopkins, is our education so focused on evidence-based medicine here. And it wasn't that the clinicians we were working with were excellent, and everything they were doing was along the same algorithms that we do, along the same evidence-based medicine. But the thing is that in a lot of countries, for conditions or treatments that are more geographically based, there isn't that much data out there. Mm-hmm. Like, the amount of data available on which to base your clinical decision making is really low. And so that was something that I realized I really take for granted in my setting here in the United States and at Hopkins, is that we have so much information. Of course, the CDC and, you know, the WHO, they provide a lot of good resources, but in a lot of other countries, there just isn't that capacity to be constantly gathering data, particularly just in terms of the infrastructure. So I thought that was a big difference. I think the main other thing that was different is that we went up and were providing a lot of, like, the screening visits were really, we were just testing everybody for everything, which I guess we do here too. We do the standard screenings. Mm-hmm. So really it was just different what we were doing it for. We would go to one village, and the Fundación would send up a couple of people, like a nurse and a team, a few days beforehand to collect urine samples, blood samples, feces samples from all of the kids in a village. You would run all of them, and that way you'd be able to prepare how many medications to bring, because otherwise you were likely really to run out. And that way you were to prepare to treat all of the kids in as efficient a manner as possible. And because of the extremely high prevalence of parasitosis and iron deficiency anemia and asymptomatic UTIs in the population, it actually made a lot of sense to do it that way. So I thought that was definitely a difference from what we've seen, but was really interesting.
Mm-hmm. And it really shows, obviously, they know their population. Seeing how the providers work with them and how well they know their communities is just, like, amazing. Like, the social workers really knew those families. And they really know, like, the needs in that area.
That was one of the key differences, I think, that I had forgotten to mention before, is that in our clinics, we would have it set up so that the provider would see the patient, develop a treatment plan, provide prescriptions, but then the family would move on to a social worker. So with every single clinic visit, the last person they saw wasn't us. It was actually a social worker who was doing sort of the equivalent of discharge teaching, mm-hmm. but for an outpatient visit. And so the nurse, I call her a nurse because the social workers really do act almost like nurses do there. At least within the setting of this clinic, they provide medication education. They talk about how to use the medications. They ensure, I mean, we were giving away the medications, but I think within the clinic, they would ensure patient access to prescriptions. And then if we did a referral, the social worker would real time figure out with the family, okay, how are you going to get to this appointment? Okay, what day is going to work with you? They are really addressing that right at the same time of the visit. And so in terms of, like, reverse innovation, you know, that was a thing I saw there that was so cool, that I thought was really a role that nurses could play in American clinics as well, especially in high needs communities, low resources communities where accessing all of the things that we prescribe to our patients isn't always feasible, or it takes a lot more, it takes a whole team. So despite, the challenges that the patients face, the way that Fundacion staff was and their model was set up to deal with it was really incredible. And these social workers, there was like one or two social workers per community, but they knew everybody. They were community health workers, really. And that model is so efficient in making sure that the care that's provided is actually utilized, and that patients can get what they need.
It's really interesting. Mm-hmm. You mentioned reverse innovation, or taking something that works overseas in a low resource setting and applying it here. Is there anything else that you saw that would be applicable?
I mean, what I did love actually, and this was, I don't know if, this isn't like scientific innovation sort of, but in the public clinic we visited, we were working with a doctor who was a wonderful public health specialist, and now provides care at one of the local clinics. And a couple things he did. One thing he would do is when everybody was waiting for their visits in the morning at the clinic, he would give a little health talk, a charla, to everyone who was there. And just with really basic but such important health information that I think to providers can sometimes seem so simple that we forget to reiterate it, but it's the most important stuff. It was about to be the Semana de Vacaciones in El Salvador, and it's this week that everybody takes off and goes on vacation and celebrates. And so he was giving his patients a really great talk about, you know, when you go on vacation, your medication does not go on vacation, take it with you. If you have an emergency, here's how to contact the relevant authorities. Here's who will be open, here's who won't. Mm-hmm. You know, things that can seem so every day, but to watch someone with his level of specialization and incredible knowledge also remember and be so clear on his ability to really communicate with patients and bring it down to that level where, like, okay, here's what really matters is that, you know, we need to make sure people have their medicines and can access emergency care during this time. That was so inspiring. Also around the clinic, what I loved is that they had all of these signs that said, just say no to the bottle. And so they're trying to promote breastfeeding amongst their population, particularly because in El Salvador, when people have sort of questionable access to safe water, the use of formula contributes highly to the death of infants by diarrheal disease. Kids who are formula-fed tend to get sick a lot more frequently, like even more frequently than sort of, you know, our stats for the United States. And so breastfeeding is a really essential public health measure there. But you know, formula feeding is still very popular. And so all over the clinic, you know, like posted on all the walls were like these little like cross out signs that were like, say no to the bottle. So I felt like they were doing just a really great job of incorporating basic public health principles into their care in a way that was really inspiring. I think all the providers we worked with there were a great example of that.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah, definitely. Do you have any other favorite stories from the trip? And it doesn't have to be medicine related.
I think we had a lot of fun experiences.
I mean, really,
the people of El Salvador are so wonderful, and it's such a beautiful country. And I've really never felt so welcomed, like, in any country ever in my life.
Me too.
My favorite was just that I feel like being in El Salvador reminded me of what's important about providing nursing care. As part of our awesome Spanish education at the Pajaro Flor language school in Suchitoto, and they do a really great job tailoring their Spanish education to medical students, we had one-on-one instruction all day, every day. It was really affordable, and I would recommend it to anybody who's looking for an immersive experience. But one of our assignments, being that we're in medicine, was to go around and talk to people about really, you know, controversial issues in medicine and beliefs and morals. And one of the things that my teacher had me do was to go around and ask different people in the town what they believed a miracle was. Because he and I had had this discussion, I think in nursing in the United States, when we hear the word miracle, if you've worked in a hospital, you get a little bit nervous because it can sometimes represent this sort of failure to communicate between the doctor and the patient. Like there's a family member who, you know, doesn't want to do comfort care because they believe in miracles, or, you know, there's, it can kind of raise people's hackles, it worries people. And we think of a miracle as a thing that science can't explain, right? So over there, I went to people and I would ask them, you know, what is a miracle? And they would say, oh, a miracle is when a baby is born. A miracle is when a wound heals. A miracle is a nurse's ability to provide care to her patient that makes them better. Like the knowledge that God gives, they would say, to doctors and nurses is a gift. It's a gift from God, knowing what you know and being able to deliver it to the people. And I loved that way of thinking about it. You know, I'd ask, well, is it a miracle if you can explain it with science? And they were like, sure. Like that doesn't have anything to do with it. You know, it's not about looking for an exception. And I think that attitude or that level of gratitude for medical care extends into the relationship between the doctor and the patient there in a way that's really beautiful and that I try to sort of hold on to every day that I'm in practice. Because I think if you can, when you're really stressed out and having a hard day, if you can bring it down to that, like, you know, I've been given these gifts and this education we have, it's a gift and we can share it and it's so powerful. And to be able to refocus yourself on that, I think is really, that was the best thing that I brought back, you know, from my experience.
That's really lovely.
Yeah, when I came back, I ran into Dean Davidson and she asked me, she's like, well, what was your favorite part? And I was, as of now, still the same. I'm like, I don't know. But to me, the people were my favorite part. And I know Amy said that. And it's hard to describe. I've been to Guatemala. I've been to Nicaragua, Costa Rica, like other Central American countries. And I have never felt so welcomed, even in those other countries. And I'm not sure what it is. But every person we were in contact with tried to make us feel so secure and just like so welcomed into their country that it was just like you didn't want to leave, you know, you wanted to stay there forever. And they were just so kind. And I think I love the just how happy people were. Even in the clinic, like I was in the OR with the surgeon and he's removing these cysts and doing INDs of people and he was just laughing and like talking away and like making jokes and we were talking about salsa dancing and like no one took, even though we were all doing very serious jobs, like no one took life that seriously. And obviously it could be because of their history, maybe they can't take life seriously. However, like, they just, like, everyone took time for lunch. Everyone, like, took time to talk to you. Everyone, like, included everyone with everything, you know. I'm going to go get a snack. I will bring back 10 snacks for you. it was just, like, it made you really appreciate, like, each moment you spent with the people there. All the providers who we worked with were just phenomenal.
I think that definitely sticks with you in El Salvador, that people go through a lot of hardship. It is not an easy place to live by any means for most people. And there's tremendous disparity in poverty and wealth, glaringly more so than the United States, which can be kind of amazing sometimes if you're already so aware of it in your own country. But at the same time, even though people are going through so much hardship, there's also a spirit of generosity that's very strong, and gratitude. And that, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, that sounds like sort of, you know, romanticizing the other, right? But it was something that, you know, we saw with our patients and especially in the medical culture. You know, everyone is extremely busy. I would say that doctors see twice as many patients just on average as they do here. I mean, I would say, I think 40 to 60 patients a day in primary care is standard. And yet everybody was still kind, was still positive about the care they were giving, mm-hmm. and was still really generous with their time with us. And that just spoke volumes. And that, I don't know where that comes from. I don't know how they're accomplishing it, but it's beautiful. And so I try to keep that in mind. You know, I think we can always get into an attitude or come from a place of not enough in medicine. It's easy to feel like there's not enough time, there's not enough resources, I can't do enough for this patient. But there's always, you know, not enough, and there always is enough, right? I have twice as much time with my patients as I would if I were a provider in El Salvador. And so I try to remember that when I'm rushing and worried. Like, I'm like, okay, like, you know, things could always be a little bit different, a little worse, you know. So trying to sort of scale that not enough back in my own mind is something that, I mean, they were incredible at. That was mm-hmm. not where they were coming from.
It sounds like a pretty transformative experience, and very valuable. What would you suggest to other students who would like to pursue global nursing experiences? How should they become involved?
I would say just do it. Like, don't, and that sounds so silly and cheesy, but like, don't be afraid. I was so afraid. Mm-hmm. I took on this opportunity and I was like, I don't know if I'll be good enough. I don't know if I speak enough Spanish. What's going to happen when I'm over there? Am I totally crazy doing this? And then I remember we were like walking on the beach and having this conversation about how glad we both were that we just seized this experience mm-hmm. and like what a lesson that was for us in terms of like taking opportunities that come to you, because it was amazing. Like, don't be afraid to get out there and don't underestimate how much you know and how much this education has already given you, and also how much there is to learn out there, you know? But I think there's a lot more resources available through the CGI than I think students even realize. All you have to do is just talk to somebody. Like, find somebody who's interested in you know, who works with the CGI. And I feel like I've learned so much from Evie just, like, mm-hmm. being in El Salvador with her, knowing, like, all that actually goes on here. It's pretty incredible what's available to us, so... just, like, crack that door. Get in there.
I think that's what the main thing is, like, everyone's always asking, oh, how'd you find out about that? Or how'd you make that work? Luckily for us, Dr. Sloan put a mass email out there mm-hmm. for our cohort saying this is available for pediatric and PE students for the summer. And so we just jumped on it. Surprisingly, not many people wanted to do it, but there's life commitments. There's so many other things going on. But like Amy said, I... beyond thankful that even during, gosh, that was a busy semester. We had a really busy spring. Mm-hmm. So this was like pre-planning for this trip. Plus, we had to do part of our clinical hours in the States before we left. So we were trip planning and doing clinical and doing papers and projects all at the same time. And yes, that thought goes through your mind of like, this is crazy. If I just stayed here, I could breathe. But going there was 10 times better than staying here and, like, saying I can, you know, breathe and get by every day.
It's worth the extra work.
It's definitely worth it. And, like, Amy really helped with taking initiative. Like, we had to plan our own trips. We had to plan our own schedules. We had to keep bugging all of our instructors to say, like, hey, we haven't heard back about this. We haven't heard back about this. What do you need from me? And you just have to, like, have a crazy checklist and get it done. And you are exhausted, but you can sleep on the plane.
Yeah, be
but
persistent.
Like, mm-hmm. I think it was just an amazing opportunity, and I would never have taken it back. I think also, like, what I was saying, stay connected. So for me, I had mentioned to Dr. Sloan a long time ago, like, maybe it might have even been an email just saying, if any international opportunities come up, will you please tell me? And she pinged me then, like, right when she found out about this opportunity. And so I think that's the most important, is to be on people's radars, because there are faculty in our school who are constantly doing abroad trips, whether it be research or something you can do for clinical or a volunteer trip. It's all out there. It's just you have to be getting your name out there and meeting people. And even if it's just meeting for coffee and saying, this is what I'm interested in. And I know you did this last year with students. Are you doing it again? If not, do you know somebody? It's kind of all about who you know, and then also being persistent and doing the hard work, but knowing that the outcome's good.
Yeah. And I think, we were really lucky too that Megan Lopez, who's a former student here, reached out to Dr. Sloan and wanted to precept some mm-hmm. students in El Salvador. And Megan was so generous with her time, and she so wanted to mentor us and teach us. And all it took was us just saying yes and going there. I think especially with global work, there are as many opportunities in global nursing as you want to make for yourself. I think that was what this experience really taught me. I mean, there are so many different roles that nurses and nurse practitioners can play abroad. You can get your license recognized and you can practice medicine, but it's not even just in the clinical realm. There's so much important work going on in public health and in nonprofits that you can have a tremendous impact in. And all you have to do is look for it. You know, you just have to sort of think of those possibilities, like open up your perspective to outside of your own country, you know, outside of what you'd normally look at, and you'd be amazed what you find and how willing people are to help you, particularly within the Hopkins network.
I think that's great advice, and that sounds a lot like what the other students that I've spoken with today have been saying, that you just need to keep your eyes and ears open and bite the bullet when the opportunity comes along.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to take the opportunity, because our days and our weeks go so quickly that if you don't take it this semester, it might not be there next semester. So just taking the opportunity when it comes and doing it. Just go do it and have fun with it.
You just have to go and ask for things and be assertive and use your education and be sure of the fact that you do know things. Like, this education you got is worth something and it matters and you can do stuff with it. Like, own that and take it out there.
Which sounds like good advice for new grads, not just people that are pursuing global opportunities.
Absolutely.
No, just anyone.
Anybody. Yeah. Yeah, you do know something, even though you don't feel like it.
Yeah, even though you come out feeling like you don't
I
remember.
I can't be a nurse.
Yeah, I can't. I don't remember anything, but you do.
You do.
And you know, and you've been trained really well, and you have a desirable role in this world.
Yeah, you have so many assets, like... There are so many ways to use them.
And
just
we're
don't
so
forget.
Lucky. Yeah. We're so lucky to be able to do it. So.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like an amazing and positive note to end this on. Is there anything that we missed that you'd like to talk about? All right. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Elise.
Thank you so much for listening, and tune in at the end of next month for our next episode. You can find more information about the Johns Hopkins School of Nursing's Center for Global Initiatives at nursing.jhu.edu/CGI.
Check 1, 2, 3.
Check 4, 5, 6.
7, 8, 9. Check.
Ha 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 ha.